Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the most electrifying must-listen-to podcast in sports entertainment. Welcome to FFC. I am your host, the emotionally brain-dead Damian Gentile Ellinghouse, accompanied, as always, by good friend and hanger on for dear life of this roller coaster we call a friendship, Ryan Doyle.
How are you, sir? How are we, sir? Is that better? Is that a roller coaster?
It'd be like a, how are you? Anyway, we come to you live, pre-recorded, with a very special guest. Now, if memory serves, last time we're guests on his esteemed podcast, but now we have dragged him over to us. There will be no censoring the curse words with old wrestlers. There will be no family-friendly talk. There will be fucks and shits and all sorts of curse words because this is a PG-13 podcast. So, joining us from the esteemed Hoggins Mac, we've got Chris Sweeney.
I'm from Talking Smack.
Talking Smack.
That's it.
That's you, right? No, of course, the host of Markin' Out.
That's right, pal. Get it right. That's right. Yeah, better than ever. But yeah, hey, it's Chris from Markin' Out, pro wrestling talk by pro wrestling fans, and I'm back to talk about wrestling. Let me just get it out of the way now. Balls.
There we go. Yeah, the curse word there you go.
Yeah.
Get it all out. There's no one here to stop you.
Let it out, baby.
Well, once we get into conversation, then, you know, then things will start slipping out.
Daniel Bryan's right next to you. The Miz across from you. This is the most electrifying podcast in sports entertainment, Chris.
Hell yeah, man. Let's go. Let's do this.
So, Chris is here to talk about a couple of, well, it's been a, speaking of roller coasters, it's been a real roller coaster couple of weeks, 2 months in wrestling. Got to start with the sad stuff, and then we'll move on to the, it's not less sad, but it's more, it's sad in the respect that instead of like, this is a beloved person that we have to eulogize, and more like, why do rich people not ever go to jail type stuff? So before we get into our stuff, Ryan, what a sad, shitty seltzer do you have today?
Wow. Insulting the Polar Corporation.
Stupid idiot polar do you have here?
Black cherry.
He doesn't even try to be adventurous anymore.
Yeah, it's a staple.
What do you want to get? Pomelo Punch or some shit?
You know,
Moscow Mule. Why is there a Moscow Mule? Like,
used to spice things up, Ryan. There used to be adventure in this relationship.
Damien wants to become an alcoholic again. Not that I stopped becoming an alcoholic, but just on Tuesday.
Only the days when it matters the most. Well, what about you, Chris? Do you have a sad, shitty polar as well?
I don't have a sad, shitty polar, but I am one of those losers that is participating in Dry January. But I cannot come to FFC without bringing a beer, so I brought a non-alcoholic beer.
Ooh, oh, okay, listen, that's better than me.
Athletic Brewing Company Run Wild IPA. This is my first Dry January that I'm doing ever. I just woke up. Well, I started it January 2nd. So I'm like, I have to go February 2nd. So I'm like, I reached the point this past week and I'm like, man, there's so much football going on. I just want to sit down and drink a beer and watch football. I'm like, I can't do that. I'm like, and these things aren't bad. I've had these things before.
You know, John Moxley like slams him. He talks a lot about how that's what he's been drinking.
And he did a commercial with them and it was so cheesily awesome. You have to look it up. The John Moxley athletic commercial is like, I'm an athlete, and when I'm looking for a beer, I go the athletic way. It's something to like that cheesiness. So
I think that it does what it needs to. The only complaint I really have, I don't think I've had that one. I've had the, the like yellow and red can?
Yes.
I think it's another IPA. Only thing that I really feel is a little is it tastes, I don't know how to describe it. Like
it's grainy, something off.
Like tea, right? It kind of tastes like tea almost.
Yes, there's like just something off about it.
So, but, yeah. That's, I mean, like, you guys have a Wave Chaser by Montauk?
No, never.
Yes.
The purple can, that kind of tastes like tea. So IPAs taste like
tea. Yeah, okay, sorry. I'm onto my microphone here.
It's okay. We encourage violence here.
You mean like carbonated tea as opposed to carbonated?
Well, they have like that hop water stuff now.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just hopped water. It's like I said, it gets done what you need to get done. So I respect it. I don't have that level of self-respect for myself. So I'm drinking Leffe Belgian Abbey Ale.
The brune or the blonde? I'm very familiar with that.
The blonde. You know, this is, if memory serves, if we discount Blue Moon, this might have been the first ever like Belgian blonde I had. I remember it very vividly because it was after Sandy and my family got displaced and we were up in some place in Whitestone. I remember being in the grocery store and I was like, the rules are off, right? I can just get beer. Like we can do that now. And I got a big bottle of that. And I remember just sipping it in a chair and being like, boy, this is the life. And that is how the slow slide to alcoholism really kicked itself into high gear.
Sandy.
No, I mean that road started.
It was the pandemic for me.
Long before that.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing too. I'm like, the pandemic turned me into an alcoholic here. I'm like, all right, I need a month here to dry off. So next
Growing
Thursday
up in Long Beach did that to me.
Yeah, that too.
Next Thursday is this month, so no dry January for me.
No, that's it, pal.
But honestly, I could make an excuse for that. Like, apply that to any month. Like, next month Super Bowl. Month St. Patrick's Day. April,
October,
drink.
Can't do it.
Got to drink it on Easter, you know.
Got to have a little bit of the blood of Christ.
Yeah, exactly. What are you going to not take forth of the, God damn it, what's the word? Not sacrament.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Bastille Day. Got to drink some French wine.
Got to drink some wine.
I am absolutely the type of guy that will be like, what obscure holiday is it today? Whoa, it's International Beer Day in only France. Let's go. I got to drink
Saint Swithin's Day.
So, I mine doesn't make a satisfying crack, but you know.
But mine does, so let's do this, pal.
Yeah.
My sad hiss.
There we go.
So before we sip, to Jay Briscoe.
To Jay Briscoe.
To Jay Briscoe.
You're right. It does what it needs to do.
It does what you need to do. So, in interest of fairness, as I've spoken about plenty of times, right, prior to, I would say, maybe like 2016, I really didn't engage with any wrestling that wasn't WWE. And I hadn't even paid that much attention to WWE. So instead of, you know, doing my normal historical look back, I'd like instead for Ryan and Chris, if you'd be so kind to help lead this, being that I know for a fact Ryan was paying attention to Ring of Honor in its heyday. And Chris, of course, you've long watched all of the different American promotions. So
yes.
talking about Jamin Pugh?
Yes, Pugh.
Talking about Jamin Pugh, born January 25th, 1984, tragically lost his life in a head-on collision on January 17th after another driver crossed the center line. His daughters were with him. There was some fear that one of his daughters was not going to be able to walk again, but I've heard some promising news on that front. The other one seems to not be in critical condition. So I'd like to turn this over to people that I think actually paid attention to Ring of Honor and talk a little bit about the Briscoes' legacy here, as you know, just what they've meant to the wrestling landscape over the last 20 years and you know what kind of a loss this is for wrestling as a whole.
I guess I'll take it. It's very rough. I know you see like the outpour on social media and stuff like that, but this is like, you know, wrestlers these days now say like their late 30s, early 40s, they're in their prime. And this is a guy that has competed with not only his brother, and being, what, the 13-time Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, but also being an outstanding singles competitor, too. There was that time, I want to say it was like 2013, where like everybody Ring of Honor had was going to WWE. And who was the guy they put the strap on? Was Jay Briscoe. Right now, Jay Briscoe, if still here, would be the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champion with his brother. 13 times. Last year, maybe, I've said it, my favorite match of the year last year was that double dog collar match. And it's not like this was like the Briscoes' like first, second year in the business. They've been in business for 20 years. They've been doing matches like this, matches against Kevin Steen and El Generico, matches against the Wolves, and not just matches in the United States, everywhere. They were IWGP Tag Team Champions. They were CZW Tag Team Champions. Pro Wrestling Noah, they were junior tag team champions all over the place. So it's a very big loss right now for the professional wrestling community.
Yeah. And yeah, as Damian mentioned, the first and foremost, someone lost their son and brother, you know, more importantly. But, you know, we lost truly probably one of, like, just the greatest tag teams in modern wrestling. Just in terms of like how they came up, the prototypical story of, you know, too young to even get into certain arenas when they started out, you know, getting into Combat Zone in 2001, I think it was. And just as Cornette described them, they were puppies with two big paws at the time, you know.
You know that they're special if Jim Cornette's putting them over.
And he's crying on his podcast about him. Yeah.
Well, you know, Jim Cornette, who has done absolutely nothing to, you know, create any goodwill for himself over the last couple of years, I think that in a funny way, with all of the turmoil that exists like nowadays between him and Dave Meltzer, both of them kind of excel as wrestling historians, unfortunately, when they're like eulogizing someone.
Nothing. Yeah. When Meltzer, when it comes to an obituary, he does right by the individuals that he covers. And certainly, listen, you know, like we said many times with Cornette, but if there's one man to talk tag teams, it's fucking Jim Cornette. And yep. The tradition of Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express, Hardy Boys, Briscoe's going to be right up there. And, you know, my match of the year, certainly last year, top three, even though it came in right at the end, was the dog collar match. And, you know, it's a shame because you finally sense that, you know, maybe the Briscoes are finally going to, which is funny to say, you know, all that shit aside, listen, you know, the community, we don't have to get into it. The community forgave them, and that's all you need to know. And they certainly made an effort to change themselves, as we should afford people the opportunity to change.
But you know what? I actually think it's worth talking about that for a second, mainly because, you know, I, in a world filled with just the fucking worst apologies, the worst, like, public apologies from celebrities that don't give a shit. They don't think they've actually said anything wrong. I don't think they've done anything wrong, but it's all about the PR. You have a guy here who, look, a couple of good old boys from Maryland, right?
You know, Delaware.
Maryland.
Sandy Delaware. Fork, Delaware.
DMV.
In that weird fucking spot where, like, you're north of the Mason-Dixon, why are you Confederate flag weaving guys, but like that's just it's how
there's people
goes
in Farmingdale that fly the Confederate.
Yeah, it is what it is, you know. But like a couple of good old boys, and in Jay's own word, you know, he thought he was doing the work of the Lord, right? Very religious, thought they were standing up for something, say a bunch of ignorant ass shit about gay people, and comes out, you know, sometime later with like a really genuine apology about, like, you know, it's one thing to be like, oh, I shouldn't have said this, right? But he took it a step further and wasn't like, I shouldn't have said this. It was like, this was the thinking behind why I said it. And this is like why I know it was flawed. And this is what I've done to try to make it better. And to Ryan's point, right, like members of the gay community have openly talked about how it was one of the better apologies, right? Gay wrestlers from all across the spectrum kind of coming to support. And I do think that speaks to the caliber of man that you're talking about, because it's very easy to dig in your heels and be like, nothing's wrong. And, you know, it's how I was raised and it is what it is. And, you know, to have a guy that like puts in the work, takes sensitivity classes. And this is a guy who was not on national television. This was not a guy that was working for WWE and was, you know, all over the place, high profile. This is a guy that like kind of could have flown under the radar longer the rest of his life, never having addressed this again. And instead chooses to kind of repent the rest of his life. And I think that's why that's worth mentioning, because unfortunately it did follow him to the end, because, you know, the pendulum has swung a little bit far in that respect. But you gotta give people credit for when, you know, they acknowledge that they've done something wrong and they genuinely try to change and they work as hard as they can to make up for what they have done. And I think that's commendable.
You're right. And they could have certainly taken the direction of, you know, well, fuck this if we're not going to fucking be rewarded for what we're doing. But no, they said, it is what it is. You know, they even passed the dollar collar match when you finally thought they were going to break the glass ceiling. You read the reports that, you know, Warner Brothers wanted nothing to do with them. So, you know, we lost out on that, but we didn't lose out in the grand scheme of things, because we were blessed with this, you know, two guys from fucking the farms of Delaware. Just
they're shoot chicken farmers.
Yes, shoot chicken farmers.
Legitimately chicken farmers.
Yeah, just legend. They'll go on into the echelon of legendary tag teams. And just to show how much they meant to their community, like schools and businesses in their town shut down for this guy.
The WWE mentioned a tag team outside of their universe. Yes, I know. Like they had a tryout in 2009 at FCW,
and they weren't cosmetically pleasing.
Yeah, that's where that came from. But like the first people to say something publicly on television was WWE.
Yeah,
they like, you know, apparently allegedly there was a funeral segment planned for the New Day on NXT last week, and they cut it because of this. So it kind of just shows you how much the Briscoes kind of have transcended, you know, the not just the WWE universe, wherever, you know, wherever they go.
And again,
Big E said it too. He's like, we may have been getting some of our stuff in the Briscoes.
I think a lot of tag teams should be saying that, you know?
Yeah, they're a tag team. They're definitely like wrestlers, right? Every generation has those people, you know, and it's interesting that in 2023 you start seeing some of those people start resurfacing. Like AR Fox being in AEW is a great example of that. That's a guy that influenced so many of today's high flyers. People like Amazing Red and Petey Williams before
Davey Richards this past year, Richards. Especially.
Absolutely. And the Briscoes are very much one of those teams where, you know, like you said, they, for the New Day to come out and say that is no surprise. They really influenced everyone in their generation. And tragic, of course, but they go out on one of the, arguably one of the greatest feuds in modern tag team history. Some older people even call it like one of the better tag team feuds of all time, which is really saying something. Especially, again, you're talking about guys like Jim Cornette, who, like, if it's past 1989, they kind of want nothing to do with it. Just a massive loss, you know. New Japan giving them the 10 bell salute. They were the first ever never six-man champions
with Toriano, I think,
with Toriano, with the God Emperor himself.
Oh my god, I didn't know that.
That's
fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah. There's also like a great match that they had with Okada and Nakamura when he was still the head of Chaos, where he like doesn't understand the code of honor.
Oh, yeah. That was great. That's how that clip was going around.
Shaking everybody else's hands, like confused. Tomorrow, as we record this, it was announced that Warner finally lifted the embargo and Mark will be wrestling a singles match against Jay Lethal, one of, you know, their closest friends in wrestling. And I saw this said online, but it definitely does, it is interesting, isn't it, how Jay Lethal, you know, he's the guy trusted to work with Jeff Jarrett. He's the guy trusted to work with Ric Flair. He's the one that, you know, Mark Briscoe wants. So he is really just a tremendous, he has been a tremendous pickup for AEW. And, you know, he really is like the penultimate wrestler, you know.
I feel like the first like 2 months that he was there, he kind of floundered a little bit. And then he started getting to this whole story with Sanjay and Satnam Singh and Jeff Jarrett. So it's like now he's being put in like a spotlight, which is great. You know, they're having this nice good few best friends and Danhausen, which last week I thought the match between what was it, Orange Cassidy and Jay Lethal on Rampage? Outstanding. Yeah. All the memes he got from it was great. But yeah, so tomorrow on Rampage, I hope kind of starts the show too, because
on Dynamite.
On Dynamite, because I feel like a lot of times with Dynamite and with AEW, they always put like a banger of a match to start the show off. Like mm-hmm. last week was that All-Atlantic Championship match that I mentioned. They had that Bryan Danielson Kineska match a couple weeks ago. So like, I think that starting that the show off with that match, this is coming out after it happens, right? After the match happens? What are you putting
this
out?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so maybe this will start the show off, and I think it's rightfully so. I feel like that's something that AEW does, puts like a spotlight match just to open the show instead of a 50-minute promo.
Yeah.
I'm rambling a little bit. Sorry, guys.
No, it's okay.
No, listen, I would be surprised if it doesn't. You know, there was a video, there was a picture that went viral like from last week's Rampage right after this happened, where it was like Eddie Kingston just like on the runway staring at the screen. It said like in memoriam of JPU. Yeah. And like I think it was like Conrad Thompson that said something about like, you know, when the chips are down, like Tony Khan, you know, comes through for the boys. And listen, Ryan and I take plenty of pot shots at Tiny because he's fucking ridiculous. He's a ridiculous, ridiculous man, and we don't stand billionaires. But the one thing that I definitely think anybody should be able to see clear as day is that he's a man that loves professional wrestling, and that you don't need to look at him as any form of like savior. You don't even have to compare him to Vince or anything like that. Just he is a guy that has traditionally worked pretty hard to like respect wrestling as an industry and respect wrestlers. And when something like this happens, you know, listen, the Brody Lee thing was a perfect example of that.
Yep.
And he's done it all throughout wrestling as we've lost people, you know, so I completely expect the 10 bell salute and this match to start. And of course I expect Mark to go over. I'm sure it's going to be very emotional. I'm just glad that whoever at Warner was refusing to let this go while they air a fucking Dana White show called Slap Fight after he slaps his wife. Like, I'm just glad that we can move forward a little bit and like, yes, let your fucking talent mourn and celebrate one of their own in the spotlight like he deserves.
Well, also, isn't it two like media rights deals are coming up?
Yeah, for WWE and AEW.
So it could be like, oh, hey, listen, we'll let you, you know, showcase this guy, but just remember that when, you know, we start talking contracts, you know, it could be some like,
listen, let's not assume that anybody's doing it out of the goodness of their hearts, but like, right, it doesn't really matter.
You think these Warner Brothers people care?
They don't.
Money.
I don't give a shit.
But Mark didn't even fucking say anything. So it's like,
Mark literally had like nothing to fucking do with any of this.
I know.
Whatever.
It's crazy.
Anyway, and he's an amazing singles competitor, as Jay was.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be nice to see him, you know, get some shine, because I, you know, he's always kind of just like the second of the two.
Yeah.
One last thing I want to say though is, like, you know, I think the ultimate compliment you can pay a wrestler or a tag team is, can I stick you anywhere in time and would you go over? And yeah, they like from probably 75, like, I don't know. Can you stick the Briscoes with I guess you could with like Haystacks Calhoun shit like that.
Are you kidding me? If you stuck them down in fucking Texas or like come on now, they'd be massive. Yeah, absolutely.
So like literally any point in wrestling history, you know,
they can get over.
Like, dude, imagine them in like Mid South, in like Louisville, Kentucky. Like how many riots they would start back in the day, you know?
Imagine like them against the fucking Freebirds or the Midnight Express or the Rock and Roll Express. Yeah, you can see it all throughout. So, you know, in closing, we've lost a real stalwart of our little sport here, and you know, it's another really devastating loss in what has been a couple of years of devastating losses for the wrestling community, and I'm glad that they will get this opportunity on Dynamite to, you know, celebrate him as they want. And, you know, hopefully as time goes on and as Ring of Honor, something happens with the product, you know, hopefully we get more spotlights and more showcases of just how dominant they have been in their 20 plus year career. And awshop.com and Pro Wrestling Tees, they've got a memorial shirt where 100% of the proceeds are going to the family. And, you know, it's for once not a fucking hideous shirt. I feel like every time they release a memorial shirt, like I get that's not why you buy it, but I'd like to wear it. So often they're fucking awful.
The Brody one was nice.
The Brody one was nice.
I got the Brody memorial shirt from like EC3's company. It's like him just looking menacing. It's in black and white. Great shirt. And I think all proceeds went as well, I hope.
So that'll be there for anybody that wants to purchase it. Yep. And as Chris started, we end to Jay Briscoe.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So, to switch topics a little bit, Vince McMahon. Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
The best 12 hours on Twitter ever.
I don't even know where to start.
I was at a St. John's basketball game, and like, just watching the game, all of a sudden it just struck me in my head. Even before this all came out, this is before the news leaked, I was like, oh my God, Damien, he's selling to Saudi Arabia. And I just get this fucking paragraph long text message from Damien. It was so funny though, because I was telling Chris, Damien, earlier. I was with my friend who's a casual watcher, and he was going on Twitter to looking at it. He's like, I've never seen so many fans of a company wish death upon an individual.
I have a group message. It was like, friends that used to watch wrestling like way back in the day. I'm all about this. I'm texting with all my wrestling fan friends like, LOL, this is hilarious. And then I hear, rest in peace, casual fans, rest in peace, WWE. I'm just like, brother, I'm like, this is all fake. The first thing you have to realize is that there's no like credible news reporter, even Meltzer. Come on.
Well, that was the thing too, is that you had all like these quote unquote financial like dirt sheet guys who you only hear from once in a blue moon that they were coming out with, and they're just like, well, it must be true. And meanwhile, Meltzer didn't say a word. I don't know if that's because he wasn't told anything or he just knew that, like, I'm just going to wait on this.
Yeah. But it was wild. And then it was, but here's the thing now, though. And I feel like a lot of wrestling fans have kind of seen this. They're going to sell this company. This is just like,
yes,
a little bit of blood in the water. And seeing how wrestling, you know, me and Doyle were talking about this earlier, how wrestling fans are going to react to the sale, whether it's Saudi Arabia, whether it's Amazon, whether it's Disney, you know, one of these companies is going to buy it. And now this is just like the first like taste of somebody potentially buying this company that's not named McMahon.
Yeah. So here's the thing about all of this, right? We all bit because it seemed too incredible to disbelieve. Like, it was like, of course Vince comes back and they're selling to the, like, this has to, how could this not be true, right? So sure, we all got took for a ride, but like Chris said, right, this is definitely a little bit, obviously now in retrospect, of a trial balloon, right? This is to gauge public impact and opinion. But, you know, the larger story in all of this really is, so as fans, right, nobody's worse than wrestling fans, right?
No, the worst.
No single fandom is worse than us, than we three here. And what's notable is not the madness about Vince coming back or the sale to Saudi Arabia. What was crazy to me was how many things were coming out about, like, wrestlers were scared shitless and how many get right, rah, rah for the boys speeches had to be made because Vince enters again. Because I feel like this was something that was not spoken about often, right? It was like, everybody was like, oh yeah, you know, wrestlers, they hate Vince, and then every wrestler would come out and they'd say something different. But what you saw here was, you saw Vince McMahon execute what is, you gotta fucking give it to the guy. I mean, this is one of the great master strokes I have ever seen play out in public. Like, I'm sure shit like this happens every fucking day in, like, Fortune 500 companies, but this shit happened publicly. I mean, Vince took the whole fucking company for a ride, and he came out smelling like goddamn roses. He won. He just won.
Do you guys watch the Succession?
And then,
no,
but that's the obvious comparison, right?
You should watch it. It's an amazing show. But, like, obviously this happens all the time in business. But yeah, no, it literally played out as a season of it. You know, classic story of CEO ousted. Oh, wait, I'm actually the majority shareholder. Now you guys are ousted, you know.
But, you know, what was most notable, like I said, is how many wrestlers, how the company realized, oh, shit, this might be bad for morale. And I think it puts to rest all of the, like, weird WWE stands being like, ah, the boys have always loved Vince and it's always been great. Like, they're fucking terrified because the man is unhinged and rips up scripts, and the years leading up to him being ousted were, like, some of the most widespread cuts in company history. And then he comes back with a hostile takeover. VPs are fucking leaving. Half the board is gone. Stephanie's retired. Like, it's chaos. It's absolute fucking chaos. And I feel really bad for anybody that went there or stayed there being like, things are going to be different now. Because, boy, it just doesn't feel that way anymore,
and
does it?
So many talent got brought back over the past, like, 4 months. And they come back to all of this stuff going on. It's just, it's wild.
Yeah, like, tinfoil hat people were just like, well, Triple H just bought them back so they can be cut again by Vince.
Put their hats on just a little bit tighter.
Yep.
I don't know, man. Like, I guess I'll play devil's advocate in this situation. Wouldn't he be back by now? You know?
You heard what? Right after this happened, Triple H himself said how he talks to Vince about creative, and then Vince defers to Triple H. Like, here's the thing. Nobody doubts that that was a thing, or maybe that was a thing the whole time. But for him to say it is insane. That's an insane thing to say.
Do you really think he was out 100% in the last couple months?
I think that there were definitely some, like, legal ramifications if he wanted, if, like, he had to not be involved with the company, and I'm sure that was being monitored. Now, am I saying that that means that, like, Triple H didn't, you know, give him a fucking call or some shit about creative? No, but,
hey,
like,
Bob, what do you want, you little fucking son of a bitch? You come to me, huh?
The other big thing, though, is that, like, as I don't think that Triple H and Stephanie, I don't think there's necessarily as much family drama as maybe the dirt sheets want to believe, or as we.
Yeah, I'm seeing some crazy things in the dirt sheets.
But I do think that ultimately they have very different ideas of what WWE should be than Vince at this point. And the only thing they agree on is that money is good and they want to be the biggest game in town, right? So they agree on that, so everything works as they need it to. But I think that the Rumble is going to be a great example. You know, everything, every storyline leading to the Rumble, I think this is when we're going to see, is Vince actually got nothing to do with this? And either way, it's just the uncertainty that sucks. WWE has been pretty fucking good since he left.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of it anymore. Other than I'm not watching again, because I'm just no snip, snap, snip, snap. No fucking cutting my vast deference in the office over and over again. Stay gone or be here. I'm not doing it anymore.
And I think the next like 3 to 4 months are very important for them television wise, just because you're on the road to WrestleMania. It starts this Saturday at the Royal Rumble. Yes, and you want to make sure you have good, compelling storylines on top of great in-ring action that'll keep people like Damian coming back to watch it more.
He'll flip. What are you going to do again for me? What are you going to do for me, guys?
Logan Paul's winning the Royal Rumble. That's what they're doing for you.
That's what we're doing for me.
Just for Damian.
here's your fucking casual.
Oh, my God.
You know, another big thing to consider in all of this, it doesn't even necessarily have as much to do with Vince, but like, so with reports being murky about like, who knows whether The Rock's going to be involved in WrestleMania, and like, in fairness, it seemed easy, but there was never anything concrete to suggest that that was going to happen other than a want of it to happen.
And like a small little like Easter egg for it on Young Rock.
Yeah,
like, you know, they put
that's
down,
right.
Like,
I forgot about
in
that.
Yeah.
So like, what I will say about this, I will give WWE this, is there's a couple things in the oven that make the Rumble very interesting, right? Consider, for example, Vegas betting odds right now. I'm pretty sure the top person they expect to win is Stone Cold.
It's Cody, then Stone Cold.
It's Cody, then Stone Cold? Okay.
Yeah.
The top four are like Cody, Stone Cold, Sammy, and The Rock, right?
Yeah.
Now, I think WWE has been smart to not maybe overcommit to any particular storyline, but what I am worried about is, let's say that Sammy's story here leads to like him and KO beating the Usos for the tag titles, and that's where this story goes. It doesn't really touch Roman. Do we feel that appropriately pays off this story? Because I feel like we're getting to the point, especially after the little trial on Raw. Like, I know it's Jay's story from the beginning. I'm not trying to take away from that, but you only get so many of these chances. Are you really not going to go all in on white hot babyface Sami Zayn at this point? Like, I don't know.
You just have to put the WWE championship on him. That's it. Yeah, it's right? Like one of those organic deals, just like Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30.
Kofi Mania.
Kofi Mania too. It's everyone's Uzi for Sami Zayn. And like, that's what I said. I know Cody's going to probably win the Rumble, but like a number two has to be Sami Zayn. Like, they have to be, if like smart booking here is you make those guys the last two people, everybody would go nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not to detract from everybody's favorite mid-carder, right? Let's call it what it is. We said it when it first happened, right? Cody came back. They presented him like a fucking star. He felt like a star. He goes on to have this incredible feud with Seth, culminating in what is easily one of the best Hell in a Cell matches maybe ever, to be completely honest. Like, it was compelling, it was violent, it was everything. It was one of the first times in so long where WWE properly utilized the gimmick. So I'm not trying to sit here and be like Cody shouldn't have the title, but does it not feel like if he comes back and wins the Rumble and then like he beats Roman at Mania, does that not feel like Jesus Christ? Why did we really need to hotshot him over like Sammy?
Well, you're forgetting there's two titles. So just,
yeah. What happens if both of them fall out of the ring at the same time and then they have to go into elimination chamber?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you either have Sammy win the Rumble and then Cody in the elimination chamber, or vice versa. It would probably be easier to write Sammy's storyline of him winning the Rumble as opposed to like Cody winning the Elimination Chamber. Sounds like, you know,
He's all badass and cool.
Exactly. Yeah, he could take that mantle. But yeah, you could run two concurrent.
I wrestled the Hell in a Cell with my bicep torn off the bone.
I can win the elimination chamber with a broken beacon pectoral. So there has been some merchandise that's been released that shows Sammy inside of a chamber. Now, obviously,
oh yeah, the seats.
Yeah. Now, obviously, that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but
it just means he's a crazy guy.
Yeah, he's a wacky boy. But here's the thing, right? Yes, WWE usually has to be dragged kicking and fucking screaming to anything organic like this. It very rarely happens just because of like good competent booking. But in this case, right, WWE has created let me be careful with my words here. WWE put Sami Zayn in a position to succeed kind of from jump, right? WWE is very, very well aware, Triple H especially, very well aware of who Sami Zayn is, what he brings to the table, his connection with the crowd. That really never waned, even when he was full-on conspiracy theorists, like everybody loved booing him, you know? So that connection with the crowd's always been there. They are aware of who Sami Zayn is. They put him in a spot to succeed. He's over-delivered, is what's happened. So the story being told here is multifaceted, but I just feel like at this point, if this doesn't lead to like Sammy leading a full-on revolt of the bloodline against Roman, then it kind of feels like a real missed opportunity, especially because yes, it's Jay's story, but like, do you really think that Jay is the one that's going to get a belt put on him? Like,
oh, he's a tag team wrestler.
No, it's not going to happen.
Unfortunately, but yeah.
He's main event Jey Uso, but it's not going to happen. So, yeah. I don't know. You know, I think that it would be better if The Rock had nothing to do with the title. I've been saying that from jump.
It has to be an attraction.
Maybe that was just him, like, you know, because listen, even if Roman loses both belts, it's not like, oh, well, Roman signed a contract and never compete for the belt again. No, he's not going away.
Yeah.
They're going to make him an attraction, too. Yeah. Next year at WrestleMania, if, you know, schedules allow it, you give him the Rock Roman match for no titles.
Right. How people want it, how it should be, you know?
Yeah.
So, I guess we'll have to see what happens.
It's really funny, though, because Stone Cold is probably the last person out of those four that I want to win. Just because, like, do I want a fucking Stone Cold pop at the Rumble? Absolutely. But, I mean, do I want it facing Roman for the belt when he had two organic storylines behind it?
Eh. And after that, Kevin Owens match last year was awesome.
He does look fucking ripped, though.
Oh, my God.
I guess you shouldn't say obviously, but, like, sure seems like he got the bug because it tends to happen.
Oh, yeah.
He's not working out like that for himself. Yes, no. He wants to be in good shape, but, like, you see those fucking... Those arms are like more defined than they ever were at any point in his career.
Those are Merlot fucking muscles, baby.
Yeah, man, he's not just doing that to like crack a couple of fucking Steve Weisers on a tractor out in Montana. Like he's doing something with those. I guess what do I know? I don't live the life. I don't need him to win the Rumble, but. Him in the Rumble and give me like a little feud with him and somebody in the Rumble. Yeah. I could get behind that for sure.
Him going up to Walter. I hate your stupid face, your stupid jacket, your stupid German tag team.
What?
Stupid slaps.
What?
No, seriously, what?
No,
I don't want to see Walter chop Steve Austin. He'll kill him.
Yeah.
He might be looking jacked.
People were talking about how like they've been like Austin was pushing for Brock for a long time and like maybe this is when he gets and it's like, hey Steve, how's your neck feeling? Do you want to take 18 German suplexes on it?
Oh.
Don't get me wrong, right? Brock works pretty fucking safe. I'm not saying he couldn't do that fine, but give me something else. Let Brock and Bobby continue their feud. I'd be interested to see something else. Sure. So if we had to put smart mark money on it, right, who do we think is winning the Rumble? Do we think it's Cody? Do we think it's Sammy? Do we think it's somebody else?
Cody?
Yeah, I'm going to go Cody because I think that they're going to reserve Not that I don't think Sami Zayn's going to be in the other main event of Mania, but I think they're going to reserve his storyline for something else. Like, Roman orders him to throw out Cody, or, like, Jay. Because Roman's not coming out in the match, obviously, right?
No. Not as far as we know.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I think Cody's going to win.
All right, so I'll play devil's advocate here and say Sami, but realistically, I think Cody is going to be correct here. I think that Sammy's going to have to reconnect with Kevin Owens before he does something else. Maybe you'll see something happen at the main event. Well, actually, I'm sorry. Historically, the Rumble is always the main event, right? Yes. Over the title.
Yes.
All right. So Roman will have beaten Kevin Owens, spoiler alert, for the belt by then. And then I guess we'll see what happens. But, you know, if I want to fantasy book a little bit, Kevin comes out and helps Sammy win the Rumble, and Sammy doesn't ask for the help. Sammy is doing fine on his own, but Kevin Owens throws out whoever's last, be it Cody or someone else. Sammy wins the Rumble, and it ends with Roman staring at him and Sammy looking shocked, and then meekly pointing to the WrestleMania sign.
Yeah. Well, one thing they have to do though is separate Cody and Sammy. The crowd will fucking eat up Cody if they do not keep them separated, which is that's when you know Vince is back in the fold, that he just wants one storyline. You know, it's gonna be Cody, my special boy.
Cody cannot eliminate Sammy and you expect to keep him a massive baby face. That can't happen.
He
eliminates Logan Paul.
Yeah, fine. Very good. Very good.
I think Cody's going to be, like, I may sound a little ridiculous, and maybe it's too late in his career. What was he, 36, 37, Cody?
Yeah, something like that.
He's going to be John Cena level in terms of, like, 14-year-old's favorite wrestler. He's going to get there.
Yes, he probably will. He was already extreme. I mean, listen, we talked about it to death, but, like, you know, when it comes to AEW, Cody screwed Cody. Like, just plain and simple, Cody screwed himself.
Yeah,
like,
or maybe he just needed that time to get back into WWE, man. Maybe that was just always the game.
He really did, for a moment there, feel like the biggest star in that company, irrespective of Kenny Omega or Chris Jericho or anybody else. And, like, he kind of did that to himself. But, yeah, the star power is there. It's just a matter of what happens next. And then, you know, the road to WrestleMania kicks off from there. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to watch the Rumble live here. I'm going to be celebrating a buddy's birthday in Philly. So
gross.
I'm going to need I don't even know if I'm going to be able to. I might just resign myself to, like, spoilers. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, that Eagles game is going to be on.
Well, I'm going to be.
Ugh. Yeah.
I'm going to be at the Sixers game against the Nuggets that night. So.
Oh, fun.
You know, I'll be celebrating with. I'll probably just have Twitter open. Oh, Joel Embiid hit a three. Oh, that's great. Did you see, you just got eliminated, though.
Oh man, hey, there's Chuck Taylor hanging out courtside. Let me go get a picture of him.
So to pivot off of WWE, and I guess to talk about AEW for a second before I talk about my big strong Japanese boys.
What about the Women's Royal Rumble? Who do you think is going to win that? Win that? It's a crapshoot because, like, there's really, like, no really story.
Charlotte?
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
She's a SmackDown
woman. She's a face now. The people love her.
The people's champion, Charlotte Flair. Yes, you're right. You know, WWE a little bit has made the women feel like an afterthought over the last couple of weeks. So you're right. I guess I don't really know. Look. Anytime Becky Lynch is in the company and doesn't have a strap, she's like a decent bet for a Rumble win.
What about Bayley? Bayley's been putting the work in since she came back to SummerSlam, so I feel like you know, they should give her that.
I feel like Lacey Evans.
Oh God,
you're gonna do the Cobra Clutch now.
The women's right, which is such a cool name for what is. Just a punch.
A left-handed punch.
Just a punch. All right. Well, I guess. Okay. So historically, right? Heels don't really win the Rumble that often.
No.
Especially not of late. Like, Who's the last person that was a solid heel that won a Rumble? Either or.
Technically, Triple H, I guess. Okay.
Triple H.
Like, everybody wanted him to win. Well, that's not true. Yeah, I mean, when they put Roman versus Triple H, everybody wanted him to win. Everybody wanted Dean Ambrose to win that Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
However.
Randy Orton? 2017? Triple H, 2016?
Was Randy...
No, because he was facing Bray Wyatt that WrestleMania. I think he was portrayed as the face in that situation.
Yeah, because out from the Wyatt family, so...
Maybe. When did Braun Strowman win the Royal Rumble? Oh, yeah, the greatest Royal Rumble of all time.
Oh, like, do you count Brock?
Right. I guess... was that last year?
Mr. McMahon. There you go.
Was that the Austin one?
I think it literally is Mr. McMahon.
That was the Austin one, right? Where Austin was beating his ass throughout the stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yokozuna?
And then for the women, like, did Charlotte win in the last couple of years?
No, Charlotte won the first. Oh, no, she won the second one. No, God damn it. Sorry. Okay. Let me get this on track. She won the
Ronda Rousey won last year.
Yeah. Charlotte Flair won the third one in 2020.
Yeah, but Ronda was like solidly, or at least trying to be portrayed as a face when she.
Yeah, they're like pushing her face and they realize, you're a lot better. No one likes you. So you might as well just be a better.
Go back to the other heel again. So, I mean, if you wanted to. The only woman right now that's over enough as a heel where people would be stoked for that win would be Rhea, right? And like,
she's got to win like the Intercontinental title or something like that. Come on.
Give her just a true China run. I mean,
yeah,
look, Rhea is a special talent, right? And Rhea has been a special talent since she broke out in NXT. You know, her feuds with Bianca and did Raquel beat her for the title?
No, I forget. My apologies on that.
I can't remember if Raquel Gonzalez beat her.
Yeah, she did.
Felix. Yeah, that's what I thought. Rhea joining Judgment Day was, you know, one of the true masterstrokes of that whole storyline. Rhea is over can be. Bianca, my sweet child, has had an absolutely outstanding reign, but unfortunately people are starting to be sick of her because fickle idiot. I mean,
she had a great run. She had a great 2-year run.
It's okay. It's fine. You know,
she's going to be, you know, she'll have her spot forever.
So like Rhea feels like the person that I could see winning most likely. But I'd be all in on Asuka if Asuka like does a return to viciousness type deal and
clown Asuka.
Yeah, just
evil really, clown Asuka.
Really just brings back her Kana days. So I'd say Rhea or Asuka feel like the smart picks there.
I feel like the field is wide open.
I don't think it's obvious. I agree.
Yeah. It's true.
So, but, cool. You know, this isn't a podcast where you just get to say we'll see over and over again. So, you know, pick someone.
Charlotte.
Pick someone else.
Bailey.
I'll go Asuka. Fuck it.
No, pick Bailey. You pick Bailey now.
Fine, Bailey.
There you go. It's fucking stupid. Bring that bad juju onto this goddamn podcast. So AEW real quick. Let's just give a basic, like, how are we feeling about them right now? Do we feel like we've got mojo? Do we feel like things still feel off? How are we feeling about MJF as champion? Do we think that wrestling fans, again, are the worst and have decided that now he's boring? Do we think that's fair? How are we feeling about the Friedman era?
Christopher.
Oh, cool. Thanks. You know what? This is the first time in a long time that AEW doesn't have a pay-per-view after a special event, after another pay-per-view, because we saw it like, third quarter of 2022. It was like Forbidden Door, then another big pay-per-view, yep. Then Beach Break, then another big thing that happened, and then All Out, and then they had to rebound off of All Out to go to Grand Slam. Uh-huh. So it's like, now they kind of have some time to just veg out. Hey, we changed our look around a little bit. Let's reset, and we have another pay-per-view in March, and it's only January, so it could be a very slow build onto that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, kind of resetting with a lot of things that are going on in the women's division, the MJF feud. As for MJF, I thought like the first couple of weeks where he's like, hey, guess what? I'm the champion. I'm going to make fun of you. Takeshka. And then seeing it was so brutal. But then the promo that he did this past week where he like, you know, shows the devil, that side of him. Now I'm starting to get intrigued again because it just kind of shows you that MJF's your champion. I'm about it. And that's it. I think there's a lot to, as I said, but that's it. I'm done. No more talking for me.
Yeah. He just needs a little bit of an edge. And yeah. I think he's starting to show that. Whether or not I need it to be to him pay off Brian Cage to break Daniel's legs is one thing. But I think you could have called the Dynamite 2 weeks ago certainly a pay per view.
Like last week too.
Like, yeah.
They didn't give him pay per view. Yeah.
They, after getting fucked up, after All Out, they're finally starting to get back in gear. They had a couple of like resets here and there, but I think they're starting to find themselves getting like, okay, this is our roster. I don't know if it irks you guys, but like, they got to stop just like, no disrespect to Willie Mack, and he's a great wrestler, but like adding these guys out of nowhere and then having them lose, like, I feel like it doesn't service them well, you know. It's kind of like they always have a floating roster around them. Like they kind of like want that, I guess.
They bring in like, oh, they were in California. Willie Mack, I believe, a California guy. So they just brought him in for the payday and, you know, put him on like I know Tonight on Dark was Billy Starks versus Britt Baker.
Maybe it's not that big of a deal, but even people on their own roster, I feel like.
Yeah. You know,
and give goddamn Takeshita a win.
Oh my god!
I get it. He can work. He proved himself in his second match last summer. Like,
have him take the title off of MJF. Let's just do long term booking here.
It was so cool how they had Top Flight beat Young Bucks last week.
Yes.
Have I just been mispronouncing his name? I really thought it was Takeshita.
No, you're saying
Takeshita.
Konosuke Takeshita.
Takeshita. Okay, yes. Cool. There you go.
Damien is not allowed to watch New Japan ever again.
Nope, mispronouncing the names. Incorrect. I think that their ratings have been down over the last couple of months, but, you know, we've said it a couple of times that it bears repeating. Shut the fuck up. Right?
Ratings don't matter.
It really doesn't matter.
They don't matter to you. They don't matter to me. You shouldn't care about them either.
The network is obviously happy enough and, you know, whatever. Like, everybody's going to take some pay cuts once it's time for new media rights, all right? Somebody did, like, a independent review of Fox's contract with SmackDown and I think found that they were operating at, like, a $200 million loss, and SmackDown is quite literally, like, the highest-rated show on highest-rated wrestling show on TV and, you know, rivals most big things on any given night. So listen, the pay cut's coming for everybody. As long as they don't remove it entirely off the air, who the fuck cares, right? It's stupid. I think that I agree. They've done a good job of a reset. I think that MJF winning the title the way he did and then doing cheap heat shit and AEW fans being like, boy, you know, he's really being overexposed. All that makes me think is like, so you don't watch, huh? You just don't watch the product and don't understand heels, I guess, at this point. Cause like, I agree that him with the devil shit as an edge is more interesting than like, I'm Ric Flair 2.0. But also, you know, your sport team sucks is, I don't know.
Oh, that's never going away, pal.
It's like, yeah, sorry. I thought it was stupid 30 years ago, too, but like it ain't going anywhere. Sorry. If you're in Seattle, you're going to talk about them not having a basketball team. It just is what it is. Sorry, I don't know what to tell you guys. But I think they're doing a good job of putting, I'm not going to say his name right, Takeshita?
Takeshka. Jesus. Yeah, it took me a couple times. Don't worry.
Okay. I think they're putting him in a good spot here. I think it's cool that DDT, has, you know, really given him free reign to go and, like, you know, this has been a great excursion for him, and I'm really excited to see where the future holds. And we're finally getting the Bryan Danielson Wrestling 2023 tour, and it's just been great, and it's cool to have Bandido in the company, fucking outstanding wrestler, and the match with MJF is gonna be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it. So yeah, I guess overall, like, I'm pretty content with where AEW's at right now. You know, we've got some solidifying reigns. I think that the women's division really feels it, you know, ever since Tony Storm became champion, I really think the division has been just feeling better and better. I again would love more than one match a night, but, you know, Tiny doesn't like lady wrestling. It is what it is. But Jamie Hayter, she's been great as champion. The crowd's behind her. I think it's really great that they let Britt sit in the back and, you know, push Jamie to the forefront.
Absolutely. And,
you know, I think that's best for business. I would have liked the champion of TV, Samoa Joe, reign to continue a little longer.
So would I.
You know, I think that that was probably the best he's looked in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
But I get it. Listen, Darby ultimately had a very good TNT reign, and, you know, we're going back to, you know, he just had a banger of a match with Kushida, always cool.
And I don't want to call them, like, bangers of matches, because it's been, like, it was with the Juice Robinson match, too, is Darby Allin got beat up for 8 minutes, and then out of nowhere, he just came from behind and won.
Yeah.
It is what happens with Darby, yeah.
Yeah, it's a Darby Allin match. Vintage Darby Allin.
Vintage Darby Allin, but, you know, I will not complain about Kushida being on TV.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Although the formula is contrite with him, I will never say he didn't go all out for that match, you know?
No, yeah,
he's interesting. You'll always say that. He's definitely interesting.
Yes.
And, you know, it's the Acclaimed have been booked really well, and I would have preferred if Death Triangle kept the trio's belts, but
I get it.
Yeah. I get it. It's fine.
That's what I said, too. I'm like, it was a fun series of matches. I think it went into, like, third gear, you can kind of say, when they started introducing, like, the gimmick matches instead of these, like, you know, traditional trios matches. Like, oh, let's do a no DQ. Let's do a false count anywhere match. I thought that Escalera de Muerte's match was just a freaking spectacle. Everybody got, like, a big car crash high spot in it. It was fun. And ultimately, that's at the end of the day.
It was good. I think it was just a apology tour of sorry for keeping these guys off TV for the last couple of months. Yeah.
I think that Meltzer being like, this is the greatest best of seven in wrestling history is funny, because, like, I need to know. How many best of sevens can we name off the top of our head here that aren't Sheamus and Cesaro?
Fuck. No, but I mean, like, the reason why Foley made that is because that was just, like, a forgotten thing, because nobody has the attention span for fucking seven matches these days. But that used to be, like, a time-honored thing, and people just, the industry just forgot about it. He would know best, but, like, obviously you had to fucking pick that one.
You know? I guess, yeah, what else are you going to fucking pick of the last 30 years?
All right, so I pulled up some on What Culture. ACH versus Matt Sydal had a best of seven series in Ring of Honor in 2000. It was the best of five series, 2015. Okay. No, I don't want to buy this table. Ad. Another ad.
Sounds like What Culture.
Yep, sounds like One. Oh, that's fine, because this is the little next button. What else we got here? Booker T versus Chris Benoit apparently had a... exactly.
We do censor out one thing in this show.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. We talked about him. It's fine.
Bryan Danielson versus Homicide from 2005.
Oh, that must be good. I got to see that one.
Yeah. The versus the Dirty Heels from TNA in 2015. I don't even know who the Dirty Heels were.
Sure. Are we noticing a pattern here with all of this?
Hardy Boys versus Edge and Christian, WWE 2019, which ended in that the Terry Invitational Tournament. The ladder match, the most epic ladder match in that's catapulted that era of tag team wrestling in the WWE with the Dudleys, Edge and Christian, the Hardys. I forgot about the tit. Now Terry wait. Invitational Tournament.
Now wait. Right. Was that a best of seven or was it a feud?
No.
I feel like that's worth differentiating.
It says winning 3-2 after a fantastic ladder match. Yeah.
All right. No, that's fine. I mean, like, yeah. you don't have to define it as a best of seven.
No, I do. Because that was Meltzer's point. It's the best of seven match in wrestling history. And you see what we're noticing here?
That there
aren't that many. And they're all five. And the only one you could think of is Sheamus and Cesaro, which wasn't actually that good. It just resulted in the bar.
Yeah, but the bar was awesome.
Bar was awesome. What happened before you don't care about as much, other than that's the circumstances that led to it. You know, my point is, let's not act like best of seven matches are the same analog as like 2 out of 3 falls matches. Now that, right? That is a time-honored wrestling tradition going back to the days of Lou Thesz. And back in the day, it was Iron Man matches and 2 out of 3 falls matches, right? Best of sevens, there's not that many of them. So to me, it was just like, I like the Elite. The Elite are good TV for me, Dave Meltzer.
Me like a lot.
Me like good high spot, do flip nice.
Oh, boy.
Unga bunga.
Someone said on this forum that the best of all time, in his opinion, is Motor City Machine Guns and versus Beer Money.
There we go. I'll take that. Fine.
The Tit was a best of five series. It was best of five series.
Doesn't fit Damien's parameters. No, no.
Yep, sorry.
Sorry. I didn't make up the rules, fellas. Go yell at him.
Sorry,
go
I didn't
subscribe.
Sorry, I didn't go seven, Meltzer.
Go subscribe to one and then go tell him. But speaking of Kenny, right? We're not going to sit here and fucking recap Wrestle Kingdom, but what everybody needs to know.
We did a half-assed version of that like 2 weeks ago. I'll mark it out. It was great.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. All that really needs to be said is that Kenny Omega in Japan, just a different wrestler.
Yeah.
Just a different wrestler altogether.
Absolutely.
Well, it's interesting that they did have Top Flight beat the Bucks, because now they could just be like, are we not, like, do we need Kenny in the equation to keep going?
Kenny came back and then left again and came back, and he legitimately looks as fast and as like deadly as he did at any point in like 2016, 2017.
Looks incredible.
Jesus Christ. First off, Kenny extensions Omega. I mean, that's how you know Kenny's back in business. I need extensions down to the ass crack. And also, look, man, give the man his flowers already. Like, I've held off on saying this for a long time because I wasn't sure if I agreed it, but like, Will Ospreay is probably the best wrestler in the world right now. I guess that's just kind of what it is.
Yeah.
Forget 5-star ratings or anything like that. Like, I can't remember the last Will Ospreay match that I walked away being like, it was okay. Like, there used to be a well-defined, that was a Will Ospreay match, right? That best of Super Juniors between him and Ricochet, perfect example of like, that's a Will Ospreay match. And it was like that for a long time. But, you know, right after Kenny left and he moved to the heavyweight division, I mean, it just ain't the case anymore. The promo he cut on Kenny the night before Wrestle Kingdom was so fucking good. His press conference after losing the belt, he's just firing on all cylinders. And I've watched a lot of New Japan. I've watched a lot of wrestling over the last couple of years. And that is one of the best matches I've ever seen. Watching it live was really a fucking spectacle. And it makes me want to go back and rewatch Okada Jay White, because like, I think the match was really good, but I just got overshadowed so hard.
Yeah, I was talking to my co-host Brandon on Working Out about this. I'm like, you can't like do those matches back to back. WWE is a good job of like the roller coaster of an event. You'll have your ups and your downs. You can't just go, you know, straight up, which is then they put the you can't do Ospreay Omega and then do Jay White and Okada, because it's just too much. The fans are so shot. After the first one, it's like,
I was telling Damien, like, The 1 year they needed two nights, they didn't do it. Yeah. You know?
But, you know, hearing the fans in full, like, crowd capacity, it was just so good. I was not as annoyed with clap crowds as other fans were, but when the Japanese crowds get to fucking go, I mean, it's just so nice. Wrestle Kingdom, top to bottom, was great. But the hot goss now, right, is what happens after. So first off, we've got Battle of the Valley coming up in February. And the only thing that I know for certain that we're definitely getting is we're getting Shingo Takagi versus Kazuchika Okada for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, and that is going to be just so good. It's going to be so good. I believe there's a pretty good chance you're going to get Jeff Cobb versus Kenny Omega for the U.S. belt, but I don't know if that's been announced yet. Speaking of Homicide earlier, you're going to get Tom Lawler versus Homicide. That should be a lot of fun. You're also going to get Jay White versus Eddie Kingston, which is going to be great. And, I mean, like, one of the big things, probably easily the biggest match that's on this, more than Okada Takagi, more than anything else, is David Finlay versus Bobby Fish. I mean, that's a monumental.
Isn't this the match event that it's Mercedes Moné versus Kairi?
Yeah, you guys really just fucking dead. You just no-sold that, huh?
What?
You no-sold Bobby Fish being the main event of that.
you just absolutely moved, but like
moved right along past that.
This event sold out when they only announced Kairi versus Mercedes Moné.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
No, correct. That was the only thing actually announced, because I am mistaken. Takagi Okada is happening at the New Beginning 7 days before. We know there's going to be a World Heavyweight Championship match, so we know Okada will be there, but we don't know who he's fighting. But yes, Kairi Sane versus Mercedes Moné for the IWGP Women's Championship. That'll be... you know what? Really interested to see, you know, what you're going to see. You had a lot of people after she came out being like, oh man, like, she's going to have to get with it. Like, did we forget that Sasha Banks is good at wrestling? Did we forget this already?
Yep, totally forgot it.
Seems like we forgot it. But, you know, probably one of the biggest things happening in New Japan right now is that there's a lot of smoke behind the idea that Jay White's leaving and coming to WWE. Now, he won't be there at the Rumble unless there is some crazy fucking deal that we don't know about. But he's got a loser leaves Japan match against Hikuleo at New Beginning in Osaka on February 11th. And a lot of smoke behind the idea that he's leaving.
So, anything that pops going to be.
Like, if he
shows, do you have to put it in front of a quote unquote smart crowd?
Yes, you do. Absolutely.
Yeah, look. Jay White is one of the best wrestlers in the fucking world. A personal favorite of mine. Maybe the best heel in wrestling. To me, him and Roman are, you know, lockstep with best heel in wrestling. But I'm with Chris on this. I don't think he's not a big deal. Don't get me wrong, but it's not. Don't expect a Cody Rhodes level pop, you know, just because Jay White shows up.
Commentary, when he shows up, commentary is really going to have to paint the picture of this guy.
Absolutely.
It's Jay White.
Yes.
They've been doing a very good job of, like, telling people's past accolades. Like, when Carl Anderson came back with Gallows. Carl Anderson, the never open weight champion. They made mention to it on the programming. So, yeah. Again, you know, when I spoke about with Jay Briscoe earlier, it seems like WWE's taking stuff outside of their universe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And finally starting to, like, bring it in and make acknowledgement to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And
we're saying, like, how they're not afraid to mention New Japan. I mean,
I know
the card is that just because usually Hulk Hogan won the belt, but, like, it's not that crazy to think that, like, if there's one company that's going to have respect, it's going to be New Japan. You know what I mean? It's like the equivalent of WWE in Japan.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that you're going to have the right crowd. That's like something like run a Chicago show or something.
Yeah.
It makes me sad. I think, and look, with all that said, Jay White's going to be a megastar. Don't worry. He's going to be a megastar in WWE, but he's going to need it. I'll be really sad if he leaves. I will. I feel like New Japan allows him to be the best version of himself. And you always wonder when somebody goes to WWE, are you going to let them be themselves? Jay White is not a man. I'm not saying he doesn't need a script or whatever, but like Jay White doesn't need you to tell him who the Switchblade is. You know, let him be the Switchblade. But I won't.
Maximum male model.
That's it.
Jacoby White.
I won't sit here and tell you like the prospect of him, you know, coming face to face with Finn Balor, AJ, you know, him seeing the Good Brothers over there, him getting to wrestle people like Randy Orton. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that's not exciting to me, because it fucking is. Just we'll have to keep our things tempered here.
They're not going to put him in NXT, right?
No, no, I don't think so. Not at this point. If this was Black and Gold, maybe, but
yes, no,
Jay White ain't going to NXT now.
Braun Breaker, champion, cheers.
Yeah, come on. No, don't be ridiculous. But like the biggest thing happening here is that Keiji Muto has finally come to the end of his 50-year wrestling career. His last show is going to be February 23rd at the Tokyo Dome. And I tell you, it's a fucking hell of a show. It is a show that includes every Japanese promotion aside from Stardom. And the only reason Stardom isn't there is because Stardom and TJPW, like, they'll kill each other if anybody sees one another, so it ain't happening. But Wrestle Kingdom Night 2, as it was billed, with Noah and New Japan, with Kongo taking on LIJ, and LIJ narrowly coming over 3-2. The highlights there, Shingo versus Nakajima and Naito versus Kenno. The real show stealer there was what should have been a fairly nondescript tag match between Togi Makabe and Kazuchika Okada and Kaito Kiyomiya. And I'm not going to lie, I don't remember his name. I don't remember.
Stiffed him.
Yeah.
Stiff.
Kaito Kiyomiya and Okada had the best worked shoot I've ever seen in my life, perhaps. A lot of mention on commentary from Chris Carlson about after Kidomiya kicks Okada right in the fucking face, legitimately, hearkening back to Akira Maeda doing it against Riki Choshu decades prior, and how that was like a real shoot fight. And just like it unlocked the side of Okada we have not seen maybe ever.
He looked like a Noki.
He looked like a Noki. He looked really scary. So, in theory, right, the final match here of Keiji Muto's career will be him versus Tetsuya Naito, which is really cool. But the thing you probably care about the most there is Kazuchika Okada versus Kaito Kiyomiya, the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion versus the GHC World Heavyweight Champion. Okada, when this match got announced, was straight up like, I'm not doing that. Like, they are selling the fuck out of this. I had nothing other to say other than, like, just go watch them brawl for 5 minutes. My dick was hard, folks. My dick was
hard. Maybe we need a Bob Backlund for that. I think I need a Bob Backlund for that.
My Bob was Backlund. So that's the big thing that's happening, you know. Keiji Muto, got to give him another proper episode when this is all said and done. But his match with Sting happened January 22nd.
Yeah.
Great.
At Bye Bye Muto, whatever it's called. Bye Bye at Noah.
Final, no, Pro Wrestling Noah, final Bye Bye Great Muto.
Okay. There we go. That was close.
Darby Allin, Sting, Keiji Muto, or Great Muto. A lot of fun. I really love that New Japan's leaning into the Noah like rivalry. I love that, you know, they gave Kongo some wins over LIJ. New Japan feels correct right now. And I really hope that Kenny is able to work Japan a little bit more regularly. I need to see that belt not keep fucking disappearing. Yeah. But I'm into what they're doing.
right now. Who do you want his next opponent to be?
Well, his next opponent looks like it's going to be Jeff Cobb, which is going to be a lot of fun. After that, he mentioned Shingo, and I'm all fucking for that. Give me Kenny versus Shingo. Absolutely. There's a lot of people that I want Kenny to face before he drops the belt back to Will. But for now, let's hope Jeff Cobb and Shingo are the next two. So I'll let everybody rest on the rest of our Japan talk here, because you know I don't want to put the listeners to sleep. But I missed who am I missing? Missing anybody else here? Any big news that I'm dropping the ball on here?
Now it's time for Doyle's Impact Corner.
All right,
perfect. Okay. Talk about Impact. Impact's awesome.
I wish I watched more Impact. Man.
I haven't watched.
Can you tell us a little bit about Impact?
I catch it here and there. Alexander's
still champion.
He did. He had a banger of Metal Mayhem match at Hard to Kill a couple weeks ago with Bully Ray, who's still there and still doing his thing.
Okay.
That was good. Mickey James just regained the Knockout Championship against Jordan Grace also.
Cool.
So,
Sammy Callahan. Is she retiring or is she like?
Her whole gimmick was like the last rodeo.
Okay.
Next match she loses, she's going to retire.
So it's like how Dustin Rhodes, like when he started with AEW, it just kept seeing the last ride, and he's been doing that for 4 years.
Kiss World Tour.
That's it. Absolutely. And Sammy Callahan's bald again.
Great.
I feel like Sammy Callahan's one of those guys, he just always shaves his head.
I'll tell you what Sammy Callahan is. He's a guy that I want to like more than I do. That's what Sammy Callahan is.
I saw him versus John Silver in 2011 at the MIWC Sportatorium, and those guys tore the house down.
What fucked him up? Was it that Eddie Edwards match when he just obliterated him with the chair or the bat, whatever it was?
I don't think so. I think he's been kind of fucked up for years. I mean, he wrestled hard, man. He's wrestled hard.
Yeah, you know, I'm just talking about in terms of like, you know, I felt like he was about to come on. Like, he was in NXT. It looked like he was going to come up to the WWE.
He was in NXT, and then he quit because they weren't really doing anything with him.
Okay.
And he's made his career on the indies. You know, he does all this stuff with Impact. He has a promotion based out of Iowa. I don't know what wrestling comes out of Iowa, but he has, like, all-star banger, you know, events that get put on. He's just doing his thing on the independent wrestling world, so I think he's awesome. He had a great series of matches with Finlay. I want to say 2010, 2011, which were awesome. I highly recommend go looking those up. Evolve, I think they're right, in Dragon Gate.
Oh.
Wait, Fit Finlay or?
Fit Finlay.
Oh, wow. Okay. He was still wrestling with that then?
He was still wrestling. They were awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, but yeah, if you get a chance, check out Impact. It's fun. You know, it's fun. It's 2 hours of great wrestling. I think their female division is great with Jordan Grace. You know, Mickey James too. Taya Valkyrie is one of those wrestlers. You know, she got a cup of coffee in NXT, but I really think since leaving NXT, she's shined as an outstanding female wrestler out there.
It was not meant like this, but I love you being like, the women's division, so good. Jordan Grace, Mickey James, Taya Valkyrie is a wrestler that's there. It's just the way you added like a comma in between it that made it seem like she is a wrestler.
Awesome. No, but no, she's spectacular.
You mean Frankie? You're talking about Frankie, right?
No, I'm talking about Taya freaking Valkyrie.
Frankie Blue
Frankie
Sky.
Monet.
No, I like Taya. And Taya, that's one of those things that NXT did where I was like, how do you fuck this up? Like, she's literally main roster ready. She's one of the more well-known women wrestlers of the past like decade. She's had a fucking cup of coffee all around the world. She wasn't she like the longest, not that this matters in Mexico, but wasn't she like the longest reigning La Reina champion?
Yes,
at some point, right? Like, I know title reigns don't matter like that in Mexico, but still, like, how do you fuck that up?
I don't know, man. I was so disappointed. I'm a big fan, so it's like,
even if she was married to John Morrison, like, nope, can't be on the roster.
No, Johnny who?
But she was good. She had a Prestige Wrestling when they were doing stuff out of the Northwest. She had an awesome like hardcore match with Drexel, like staple guns and shit. I think it's on IWTV. Go check it out, Prestige Wrestling.
I have not been on IWTV in a fucking while.
I know. I canceled my subscription. I got Fight Plus, but Fight Plus isn't really that great either. So it's like,
well, yeah. You know what? Okay, before we do the Legend Killer, then, do you have any hot indie people we should be checking out? Huh? What is it that we called it, Ryan? We called it Legends of the Bingo Hall. Yeah, we got any Legends of the Bingo Hall right now, Chris? We should be looking at.
Who have I been watching matches from recently? Hold on a second. Let me pull my note. People want to hear that. I can't think of anything. What did I just watch? I watched GCW from this past weekend because I really wanted to see Gringo Loco versus El Hijo de Vikingo. Because now, you know, that Triple A is finally like, okay, guess what? You guys can stream all Vikingo's matches now. You heard about this whole thing?
Yeah, no, they fucking they're letting people do that now?
Yeah, now they're letting them stream Vikingo's matches. So they're adding all of his like past matches they had in GCW, and now all of his matches are going live. So this past weekend, awesome. He faced Gringo Loco versus Vikingo, and it was good. I mean,
did you see that spot?
Which one? The 630 to the outside through a table?
Yeah, he like hop. Damien, you have to see this if you didn't see it. He literally like, he goes from like the ring, and then he goes like, he scales like this wall in the corner, and then does it. He like literally jumps off to where like the Titantron is in fucking WWE.
Vikingo is, all he needs is any fucking promotion to be like, here's all the money. Go be literally the biggest star in the world. I mean, Jesus Christ, that kid is good.
Yeah. Because I've been hearing so much, but, you know, he was in, like, the top 10 of, you know, the PWI Insider 500 last year, and I've never heard anything about him.
Oh, really? Really? Oh, man. So when Kenny was Triple A Mega Champion, right, he had a match with him that was fucking incredible. They had a match with Andrade before that. That was really, I mean, Vikingo is just one of those guys that, he's very much like Rey Fénix in that, like, every time you see him do literally anything, you're like, how is he moving like this? Like, he is, holy shit, he is really wild. Something special. You know what? Since you don't have a recommendation, it's a little bit cheating, but if we don't have a Legend of the Bingo Hall that we can really talk about, then I feel like the guy you got to talk about is Mr. Bola 23 Mike Bailey. Speedball Mike Bailey has had a year from fucking heaven this last year. I mean, Mike Bailey, he's been working everywhere. He's all over the place, and he has had excellent match after excellent match. And one match that I have not been able to watch yet, but I've heard like is one of the best matches of last year was the 60-minute Iron Man match against Josh Alexander for the Impact Championship.
That they had on their
Impact.
Yeah, oh my god,
it's on Before the Impact. You can catch it on YouTube for free, and it's like one of the best matches you can catch from last year. So, I would love to watch Bola, but like it's still DVDs, right?
They have a very old model, but it works. You know, I always mark out for their preview videos that every other Barbarian Overlord song, to 630s and backflips and stiff clotheslines and that fun stuff.
I heard that Bola this year was really great, and it had a hell of a fucking lineup, right? Mike Bailey won this one, but
Jericho Appreciation Society wrestled. It's usually like the second day or the last day of Bola, they have like that big 10 man with all the people that have been eliminated from Bola, you know, heels versus faces. But this time they had all the Jericho Appreciation Society guys come because Mike Bailey couldn't make the first day, so he had to wrestle four matches the second day, or three matches the second day, one of the two.
Bailey had to wrestle four. Night one he beat he had all of his matches
just on the second day because he couldn't make it for the first night.
He beat Jordy and Grace, then he beat Shun Skywalker, then he beat Brian Keith, and then he beat Takashita.
So, yeah, you got it. There you go.
Whenever that drops, I guess we should probably go check out that. Takashita also had a great... I mean, he's another one of those guys that's just fucking everywhere right now. Yes.
He's U.S.-based now, so...
Yeah, So I guess we'll just we'll say Mike Bailey. That's your legend of the bingo hall. Go
and he's
go
on
catch
Impact
what
too.
Speedball's doing. Yeah. Every like X Division match he's had has been outstanding. Yeah. Okay, so then I guess that covers all the important stuff that we have to talk about here. So, ladies and gentlemen, I guess that only brings us to one final item, one final order of business.
What's that?
What are you drinking? No, I'm kidding. Do you guys want a hard one? Do you guys want a super old one or a super kind of old one?
Listen, man, Sweeney's here, which means he's going to get it no matter what. Give us the hardest he got.
All right. Okay. Hold on.
This year is Luthez's grandfather.
Vladislav Thiz.
This is Bruno Sammartino's uncle, twice removed.
Father's sister's nephew's former roommate.
Doing farming in Italy.
Yeah, waiting for it. Come on.
Come on. Chop, chop. Dead air here, Ryan.
Yeah, it's a lot of dead air.
Dead air, right? Doing all the fucking talking here. They've heard enough of me. More you.
More me, yeah.
More you.
That sweet Brock Lesnar poster. Come on. Back.
Give it to me.
It's great.
I love that little thing that Heyman did when they were in Philadelphia this past Monday.
Where he said, yeah, you're dead. He wanted to kill him, right?
No, he was like, the Eagles fans in here are going to be very, very upset thinking about Brock Hardy.
That's awesome.
Well, then he says, like, yeah, we're going to be as dead as ECW. And then ECW chant. I know, that's already.
Oh, God damn it.
Told you. Where'd you send it, though?
I sent it to your text, Damien.
I got mine via Instagram.
Holy shit, you got it that quick, huh? Well, that has to be Sammy Callahan, right?
You guessed it. No, I'm kidding.
I would have bet my left testicle that was Sammy Callahan or his uncle.
You that was really pretty close.
You got it that fucking quick?
The face.
That immediately, huh? Well, okay.
Yeah, honestly, focus on the face.
I'm doing a lot of focusing on the face. All right, Chris, give me a hint here. Well, first off, what era are we looking at here?
Span many eras.
Well, is this a black and white picture, but it's like actually from the 2000s?
No. He spanned many generations. This is probably from like late 50s, early 60s.
Wore many hats.
I don't know that's the hint you think it is for me. See, this picture is from the 50s, 60s?
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Wore many hats.
His name transcends past himself. As a term.
His name transcends himself as a term?
In wrestling.
Like pulling a this? Or like...
Kinda.
Or like Lucha style, where it's like multiple people have had this moniker.
No. Only one. Nope.
No. It's not coming to me. All right, I guess I'll just have to wing it here.
I'll give you one more clue. You may find yourself here.
What the fuck are these clues?
You may find yourself here before a match.
Is it Gorilla Monsoon?
Correct.
So here's a fun fact about Gorilla Monsoon. That's a man whose voice I know, and I don't think it's a face that I immediately recognize.
Oh, I know the face. Him and Bobby Heenan.
Wrestler's first neckbeard.
Yeah.
Does this guy look like he's about to sell you like some crazy magic cards in a fucking comic shop?
Yes. Yes, he does. You know what? I think what it is that by the time that like he was permanently behind the booth with Bobby, like I don't know. He looks very different to me.
Oh yeah, well, like our generation doesn't know him as a wrestler, you know.
I can't name one Gorilla Monsoon match.
Right.
I know
he's a legend,
him in his maroon jacket sitting behind the table.
Yeah.
On WWF Superstars. At like 11 a.m. on Fox. Great.
Well,
damn, I wish I saw that era, man.
You stumped me fair and square.
Good.
How does it feel for once?
I got you a couple times in a row, pal.
Not lately.
I think I got you with the family portrait of the Wyatts.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. Okay.
The reason you got me is because you remember I do this all the fucking time. I keep calling IRS CPA.
Ah, that's right.
I keep calling him CPA.
I got you last week.
Oh, that's great.
Gorilla Monsoon, went to high school in Rochester, New York. So he was called Tiny by his teammates because he weighed 300 pounds as a 16-year-old.
Oh, fantastic.
And he went to Ithaca. Well, I'll have to tell my friend Teo. Okay, well, that's a good one, Ryan. You got me fair and square. Congratulations. You got the little bit of the old Sweeney magic with you. So I think that's all for us here, folks. So as is custom when we have people smarter and prettier than us on the show, Chris, take it away. Plug yourself. Plug the people. Tell the masses. This camera, this camera, this camera.
I know. Well, my name is Chris. I'm on a podcast called Market Out, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. Our website's marketout.com, social media wise, facebook.com/marketout, twitter.com/marketout, YouTube and Instagram.com/marketout11. Next week, we celebrate our 12-year anniversary episode. And it's going to be a fun one. Reviewing, you know, what's your weekly review of everything professional wrestling? So that Facebook, Instagram, you can find me at cmsweeney85. I just post beers and stuff that I'm doing. I'm in a band. It's called Carve Your Niche. You can follow us on Instagram at Carve Your Niche. And Twitter, I think it's CYN Band. We're writing some stuff. Anthony hasn't been to one practice. It's typical being in an Anthony Capozzi band.
Yeah, that's, you know, if it... you only get one. You only
good
get
luck. One. See you whenever this year.
I remember after my buddy Kevin joined Thracian. I was like, oh, how's things with Thracian going? He's like, oh, it's going really good. We've written a bunch of songs. I haven't seen Anthony in 6 months.
Anthony came to our first Carver Dish practice and then I haven't seen him. You know, I know his other band, Lost Becomes, is recording new music right now. So that's a top priority. Then your dad rock friends band.
But you know what? There's one guy to come up like 2 minutes right before a show and just go to work. It's probably him.
Yeah.
For better or worse.
sounds like Tony. Sounds like Tony. And Ryan, plug yourself.
You can find me.
I don't care.
Me.
Shut up. They know where to find you.
I don't know where to find
you. It doesn't matter what you have to plug.
It doesn't matter what your Twitter handle is. I don't know. Doyle Rules.
What's that?
It's Doyle Roulez.
It's with a
Z. It's French.
It's French with a Z. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us, giving us your ever-fresh pearls of wisdom, just taking those sacks of knowledge and just dropping it on the table for us, really.
Dropping it on your face.
Just right there for everyone to see. Appreciate you as always.
No problem.
To check out the podcast. Not ours, the good one.
It's not ours, it's not good. It's fine.
If we are able to be around a fraction as long as you guys, then I'll be feeling A-okay.
Yep.
So,
hey, at least you have some ads. We're still waiting on like our Nathan's fucking ad.
We're not even on Apple Music right now. Apple Podcasts. For some reason, like something screwed up with our like domain website and like it's not working with Apple Music, and Apple Music is pointing the finger. It's a big mess. But you can listen to us on Spotify and what's that? Stitcher. We're on
there
those.
You go. There you go. All the other weird podcast things that no one else uses. I mean, we're on like 8 of those ourselves. So,
Hot Pod's number one wrestling show.
Let me do my thing! For Chris Sweeney. For Ryan. For myself. This has been the most electrifying, much listened to podcast in sports entertainment. This has been F. F C